Hello, welcome to Broadway Baby, the podcast taking one casual theater goer to full out fangirl. And we are here with a special episode to discuss what happened last night, Hamilton. I'm your host, Kimberly Schmidt, here with my husband.
Hi.
Jay Schmidt.
Yeah, you say my name and then I say hi.
Yeah, sometimes I don't remember.
Why? And every time you forget, like every time.
It's a bit now.
I guess. It's not very funny.
But here's our baby, Alex Pacella.
Hi, this got chaotic real fast, huh?
You know, here we are. We spent our last evening watching Hamilton on Disney Plus, as I'm sure most people listening to this did as well.
Yep.
Do we have some initial thoughts before we get into fun Broadway baby-isms?
I thought it was really good, and Hamilton is one of those things that's intimidatingly good. Like, I'm watching it going, like, I'm never going to make anything this good. It's almost like a bummer. And what I noticed, and I had seen it already, but I forgot that these were part of the show's language. Like, I know every, like, lyrical and melodic, like, motif that means certain things in the show. Sure. I forgot that there's visual ones that affect the lyrics, like, sitting down is a big theme visually, and smiling is a big thing. And I was like, God damn it, it's even more of a dense, perfect, clockwork masterpiece. Fuck. Like,
yeah. I saw an interesting tweet. The most, like, interesting tweet during, like, the broadcast was that, like, someone was, like, mind was blown. He was like, I never realized that that Hamilton always points up and Burr always points down at, like, the end of the song. Like, at the end of Wait For It, like, oh, and Room Where It Happens, Burr points down.
Yeah.
And even in the poster, Alexander's pointing up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Huh.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of fun stuff to revisit because we hadn't seen it in years. We've seen it, all seen it a few times.
Yeah, it's Hamilton.
Yep. Yeah. It is a bittersweet thing to watch knowing that everyone involved is unemployed at the moment.
Yeah.
It was just kind of like weird. Like, it was welcoming to be back in like Broadway in 2016 when it was thriving. Mm-hmm. And then to be like, oh, all of these people are also sitting at home right now.
Yeah.
Like, this is the only production of Hamilton anyone can watch right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And usually it's like always fun to be like at 8 o'clock, like, Hamilton's happening in like five different places.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was not. So that was like a weird, bittersweet feeling the whole time.
Yeah.
I think this is like the only circumstance in which the cast of Hamilton would actually watch that production.
A brush-up rehearsal.
Oh, I mean, yeah. Honestly, like, if I were in Hamilton, they'd be like, oh, Hamilton's on Disney Plus. I'm like, I do it every night. I'm not watching it. Like, I'm not spending my free time watching the show that I watch every night.
Yeah, except they're like, oh, we haven't seen this in 3 months. Let's take a look. Do we remember the words?
Yeah. Did Aaron say anything about that?
No, we're talking about it on Monday.
Is he in the movie?
No, he's in the tour.
Okay.
So we have two friends on Broadwasted on our Monday night, I guess they come out on Fridays, episodes, mm-hmm. that are in the tour of Hamilton right now, and they were talking about watching it as a brush up, basically.
Nice.
Because it must also be weird to not know when you might ever have to do it again.
Yeah.
That'll be like constantly like, I think I still know it, but like they have to have rehearsals at this point, right?
Yeah.
No one's jumping back in.
They would have to.
Mm.
I mean, they might have
to. Like, everything's just going to have to reset.
Completely.
Yeah, just do it again from the top. We also came together to talk about, for our Broadway baby, all of the theater references in Hamilton. I'm sure there is another podcast somewhere that can tell you all about the hip-hop references we don't know.
There are a lot of them.
I know a couple of them.
Yeah, I mean, Alex read the book, so, you know.
Yeah, I know a lot of the history nods, which are, like, imagine what could happen when you try to tax our whiskey is the Whiskey Rebellion, which was a huge crisis at the time.
Which was in the show off-Broadway that me and Jay saw.
One last ride.
Yeah, it was the worst part of the show, and they made it the best part of the show.
Yep.
Worst part of the show, obviously, is with a grain of salt.
Well,
which
means it was
bad.
Well, because it was the only part of the story when it was the Whiskey Rebellion. It was the only part of the story that, like, really a lot of people didn't have any frame of reference for historically.
Yeah.
Because, like, you learn about it in school, but it's like a passing conversation. Like, you don't spend a whole day's worth of them on the Whiskey Rebellion. But it was kind of like, oh, I don't care about the Whiskey Rebellion. I just don't care.
The problem is that it's two story beats at once. It's the farewell address and the Whiskey Rebellion. Yeah. It's like only one of those actually moves the story forward. It's cool to say, oh, they're going on one last ride like they were in the war again, and they're putting down a rebellion as opposed to fighting one. But it's just, it doesn't work for that moment. And so once they get rid of that, it's beautiful again.
It's just nice. But the theater references we can get into, which there were fewer than I recall. But I think it's because they stand out so strongly, they really stick in your mind.
Okay.
Jay has a list.
I think, well, the most obvious one, and the one that's like very, very clearly a Lin-Manuel Miranda just like kind of like getting a wink in, is at the end of I Don't Know How to Say No to This, or Say No to This, or whatever it's called. When he sings the line, nobody needs to know. It's the exact same music. It's the exact same lyric. It is like, there was a tweet from last night of Jason Robert Brown being like, when I saw Hamilton, Lin found me in the audience before he sang that, like, took it to the audience and basically winked at me when he was singing.
Because it's exactly what it is. I remember the first time I saw it, I was just like, ah. But it makes sense in the vein that it is a hip-hop musical and that you quote stuff.
Yeah.
He does it in The Heights, too. You must take the A train is in the opening number.
Yeah.
So that's the most obvious one.
There's last also, 5 years. I don't think we mentioned what it's from.
From the last 5 years.
Yes. Jason Robert Brown. Now, did you see Jeremy Jordan's tweet? He tweeted at Jason Robert Brown. He goes, he did that to me when I went too.
Yeah, probably.
No, that's funny though.
That's great.
Also, carefully taught, I think, is the first one.
It's the beginning when Aaron Burr says you have to be carefully taught, which is a reference to South Pacific.
The song Carefully Taught.
Which is interesting.
Racism.
It is a song about racism, but like
that song is about you have to be taught to hate and feel you have to be.
Which is interesting why Burr says it, because it's not like referencing race, but like Lin specifically using that reference is making it a racial comment.
Yeah, because this whole conceit of the show is it's people of color playing these roles. So of course it's going to be relevant to that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And I appreciate the way that he delivers that line. Why can't I think of his name right now?
Leslie Odom Jr.
Leslie Odom Jr. There we go. I like that is the perfect way to like reference something, but also not make it make it its own line reading. Like he's almost commenting on it, but also it feels very natural at the same time.
Yeah.
You're touching me. Like I said something wrong.
I'm just touching you.
Okay.
I was just pulling my hand up and then I let it fall. That's all. A fun fact about Carefully Taught, since you didn't know what that song was about from South Pacific, it is a song about how racism is not born in people, it is taught to them. And the producers wanted it cut from the show. They were adamant that they cut that song from the show because it was going to be really, controversial. The writer said, no, Rodgers and Hammerstein. They're like, no, this song stays. And so, and some people say Rodgers and Hammerstein are just old shows. They're pushing boundaries.
Specifically South Pacific.
We should do a whole episode on it.
We should.
Actually, yes. It would be very interesting. What else?
There's another obvious one. Washington refers to himself as a modern major general. And it is a little bit, it is kind of a hip-hop patter song a little bit.
Yeah, it fits in a rap because he's the very modern, very, very model of a modern major general.
Yeah.
What show is that from again? I know that line, but.
It is Gilbert and Sullivan.
I believe it's Pirates of Penzance.
It's Pirates of Penzance.
Yes.
Okay, because I've heard that referenced a billion times. It's one of those, like, before we get to our next reference, I just have a very fun fact that I've been holding in for 2 years. One of the few things that the real Hamilton made time for that wasn't work was theater. He was a theater nerd. And that makes me happy. Yeah, he and Eliza went to the theater, like, every week when they could.
Huh. That's interesting.
Interesting.
I've stopped everything cold. Cool.
No, it's more that I wonder what plays were happening.
Yeah, that's really what I was saying. Yeah, I was just like, what did they see? I was like, what did he see? Yeah.
Shakespeare.
I guess, yeah. Tragedies.
Yeah.
Our American cousin?
No, not that.
That hadn't been written yet.
No.
No. that's all I wrote down.
There's also when specifically...
Oh.
When John Adams is president and Hamilton says, sit down, John, you fat blankety blank blank.
Again, almost the exact melody.
It is a direct dig on 1776 and how John Adams yes. is a little bit more of a bigger player in that musical as opposed to this one.
Yeah.
That's one I knew already because I know 1776 a bit. But I knew the reference before. For God's sakes, John, sit down.
I went on to Reddit because honestly, those are the only we watched through, and I was like really keeping an ear to the ground on them, and I couldn't really find a ton more.
There's some Shakespeare quotes, which I
they very clearly say don't name the Scottish play a couple of times.
And there's something about Macbeth going to Dulcinea, and Angelica has something too.
Yeah, Angelica makes actually quite a few references in her letters, but there are a couple things on Reddit that I found. Some of them are kind of a stretch. Some of them are a little bit like in the way Eliza cries out in anguish and clutches Philip's body is very reminiscent of the way Kim and Miss Saigon does the same.
No, that is not a reference.
I was like, no, it just means
that is just
a
how
kid dies and they have this like. It's just the same.
No.
I don't know. Of course not, but it's funny.
Hamilton's on in Saigon.
The only one that really stuck out that like wasn't completely reaching a little bit in Lafayette's song. He references himself as Lancelot, and he specifically uses the term "c'est moi."
You're right. He does say "c'est moi."
C'est moi, which is
"c'est moi" is Lancelot's song from Camelot.
Oh, huh.
I think I caught that when I saw it years ago, but
okay,
I didn't notice it last night. Yes, "c'est moi."
I thought it was just like a French guy.
No, "c'est moi" is an entire song from Camelot. Which is just Lynn being like, oh, he speaks French. I should make a C'est moi reference.
Oh, here's another one. this is all the same vein. I don't know who got this bee in their bonnet. Someone said, the way Eliza says, I know, shh, as Philip dies in Quiet Uptown, the reprise, is based on the way Roger talks to Mimi when she almost dies in the finale of Rent. Like how it's
Philip.
I don't think that's a reference.
It's a reference to earlier in the show. I know.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that are like really tying a lot of some of these like just don't track.
It's weird that these are my favorite ones we're doing.
I know. I mean, I get it, but
yeah, they're not. They're obviously too much of a stretch, no. But I kind of like
Alex,
that.
Alex, did you catch any that we didn't?
I didn't write any down because I assumed I had to react to all of these, so I came in fresh.
Yeah,
but
there were not as many overt ones as we thought.
Yeah, because I thought it was going to be, I had my phone out ready to just start tippity-tapping, and I was like, oh yeah, I guess there's not.
There are two references to the podcast, My Brother, My Brother and Me.
Yes, there are.
Which ones?
Yeah. unless, and I'm super dead.
Yes.
Who says I'm super dead?
It's just a way that they would Hamilton. Say it's more.
In the show.
Oh, he goes, do whatever you want. I'm super dead, King Louis had.
Yeah.
Oh. When do they say unless in my brother and me?
It's a running gag that whenever one of them like wants to like add on one more thing to like when someone's making a point and then one of them goes unless and all three of them go unless. Yeah. And it's specifically notated in the like Justin McElroy put it in like posted a picture of the Hamilton like annotated.
In because the
genius? Oh. No, like in the actual book, he's like, I'm in the Hamilton book. Like cool. Yeah.
Oh my god, that's so funny.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. It's not as exciting as we anticipated.
Yeah.
But I think it's also because there are so like theater people see the show, if there were too many references, it would just be like, this is all references.
But also if we missed one, just let us know on Twitter.
Yeah, tell us if
we missed
one. Please do. We probably did.
I don't think so. I really looked over Reddit.
I know. Same Watt is one that I knew that I didn't catch last night.
Should we look up some hip-hop references just, like, quickly? Maybe that'll be fun, too.
Sure.
Because I don't know.
Would you like to? I know that
I looked at a list of these. What was 10 Dual Commandments is, like, the 10 Crack Commandments, which is Biggie Smalls.
Yeah, that I do.
Only 19, but my mind is older is literally just a lyric from Mobb Deep or something else.
At the beginning of
Ladies.
Is that Hey Ladies or Beastie Boys?
Yeah, it's Beastie Boys. Yeah. And then if you don't know, now you know. That's another Biggie reference. But again,
knowledge.
There's a Tupac reference in Cabinet Battle 3 that was just a demo on the mixtape where he goes, plantation states are packed with promise makers. There was a Tupac lyric that was like, something, something's packed with promise makers, and he changed it to plantation states, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. It's full of references. We could also do a whole thing on Shakespeare references, but there are a few.
Sorry, I'm just like not qualified to comment.
No,
me either.
That's fine.
Anyway, highly recommend everyone give it a watch because you can't watch it in a theater right now.
Yeah, I mean, and it's. I will say, I was worried about the show like going to Disney Plus because I was like, this might hurt their like bottom line, yada yada yada. Having watched the movie of it, it was good. It was excellent. It's a great show. It is better in the room.
Yeah. When people always say, like, filming stuff will make you not want to go to the theater, I disagree because there is magic that is lost when it's on camera and not live.
Yeah.
Because
it's like a live band.
Some of the close-ups, like, really, like, actually made the choreography kind of clunkier in a way. And, like, some of the stage pictures... Some of the stage pictures weren't as effective because they were like,
because you didn't see how things got there because you were in close up and stuff.
Yeah.
And like, I'd be tempted if I was shooting Hamilton, I'd just be tempted to just do it in just entire tableau or just watch the show. But like, obviously, the movie, and they want to have more of a creative freedom.
You can
and
go watch it in one tableau job. At the library.
Yes.
Whenever libraries are open again.
I still want us to go at some point to see the cast that I saw it with, where we all watch it, and had Iga Hart in it.
Oh, they usually only record one cast.
No, he means on Broadway.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
When they're open again.
I
want to see James Monroe do it so bad.
So bad.
He was so good. He's the best part.
So good. He's the nicest man you'll ever meet in your entire life.
But also, like, I appreciate about it is that, like, he's just as talented as David Diggs, but in, like, literally a completely different way. I was like, it's got to be a completely different performance. Even though David Diggs was the best part of Hamilton, full stop. Straight up.
So good. So good.
Sigh good. All right,
Alex. Nine? That was our little mini episode on Hamilton for you guys. Let us know if we missed anything. Alex, do you have an outro for us?
I do. I'm really proud of this one, so.
Let's be real. This whole episode was just you can do an outro.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, now, at a certain point in the song, I'm going to say, enter me, and you guys have to say, he says as he checks his tweets.
Okay, he says as he checks his tweets.
Okay. Yeah.
So you're doing a satisfying.
I am not throwing. Well,
sorry.
Yes.
Go.
I am not throwing away my pod. I am not throwing away my pod. Hey, yo, I'm just like Broadway. I learned things the hard way, and I'm not throwing away my pod. We're going to start a pod called Broadway Baby. And all the Broadway fans will listen, send us money, maybe. I know I got a lot of driving. I can sound crazy, but I don't hem and haw. I've got a barrel of flaws, but not lazy. I'm a baby in a basket, looking for a fam new to your land. Call me Liz Warren because I got a plan. I'm 33, but my mind is younger. I missed out on theater, so now I hunger for your knowledge and experience. I will work harder, and you never met a baby who came out the womb smarter. I'll bark from the rooftops to get us some fame, but the marquee's dark, so let me spell out the name. I am the A-L-E-X-A-N-D-E-R, your Broadway baby, a podcast that runs independently. Meanwhile, the media keep clicking on us endlessly. Essentially, they track us relentlessly. Then Zuckerberg turns around and runs his spending spree. He ain't never gonna set all his users free, so there will be a revolution starting on this feed. Enter me.
As he rechecks his tweets.
Don't be shocked when your playbill mentions me. I will burn my career if it sets us free. Just wait and see my digital ascendancy. And I am not throwing away my pod. I am not throwing away my pod. Ayo, I'm just like Broadway. I learn things the hard way. And I'm not throwing away my pod. Everybody sing download. Yeah. Scrap up. When you're scrolling through your tweets, you scrap up. Tell your brother that he's got to scrap up. When you're stuck in quarantine, you scrap up. When are these babies gonna scrap up? 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 Scrap up. Failure's in my head so much it feels more like a memory. When's it gonna get me? Never got my dream of stand-up comedy. Doing it for years and all I got to show is a hill of beans. Can it be that comedy's forgotten me? See, I cried every day till I was 20. Where'd I come from? Some do twice as many. Ask anybody why I'm working fast, do any my blast. How come I can't put down the pad? That's funny. Podcast? It's not a pod, it's a movement. Where are the theater people with something to prove went? Because if your life was always happy, well, God bless. The rest of us rose out of a stress mess. I guess if I get a second chance to have fun, it'll show other people that they deserve one, but I'm worried maybe I'm exploiting my adoption. The baby's just an egomaniac who's out of options. I know the action on the web is exciting, but Jesus, but you know the tweeting and fighting. I've been reading and writing. We need to handle our algorithm nation. Are we a network of shows or a stagnant station? I'm past blatant, so hating and passionately blasting every automation, every part of the cast of creation. I'm laughing at my own anxiety and sorrow. Andy told me the sun will come out tomorrow, and I am not throwing away my pod. I am not throwing away my pod. It's time to scribe up, scribe. It's time to make a pod. It's time to make a pod. It's time to make a pod. And I am not throwing away my, not throwing away my pod. Bah.
Very good work, sir.
I think that might be my best one.
Yeah.
Can I show you what I'm proudest of? I established the first private orphanage in New York City.
The orphanage.
I helped raise hundreds of children. I get to see them growing
the
up.
The orphanage.
In their eyes I see you, Alexander. I see you every time. And when my time is up, have I done enough?
Will they tell your story?
It's only a matter of time.
Will they tell your story? Who lives, who dies, who tells your story? Will they tell your story?